Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I'll tell you what, instead of wasting time, well, we're not wasting time, we always have fun conversations, but then eventually we get to the point of the whole segment. Yeah, every Friday here on Montana Talks, it's always great to have Becky Hillier with us, and she always has a look at the bright side story for us, and so that's what the whole segment is all about, but usually it takes us about 15, 20 minutes to actually finally get to the bright side story. Becky, why don't we start with it here on this Friday, and then we can BS about whatever else after that. Great to have you. Becky, hold that thought for just a second. I just realized when I have you in on my cell phone connection here, for some reason, every now and then, my equipment likes to mess with me and make it so that I can hear you, but for some reason, our studio can't hear you. So give me just a second here. I'm going to disconnect you and then reconnect you here, and because sometimes that will work for me here. Okay, so I really apologize about that, Becky, but yeah, Becky's got a great bright side story for us, though. Don't you worry, because I was just chatting with her off air during the Fox News update. So if I missed a Fox News update story, somebody please tell me about it. Okay. All right. Let me see if I can quickly do this on the fly here. And yeah, I apologize, Becky. Let me see here. Okay. It looks like I must have somehow disconnected there, but sometimes that will fix the whole problem here. Let me see. I'm getting Becky back on the phone lines right now. Okay, she is here. Let me, okay, hold on one more second. You always hate to have to do this stuff live over the airwaves, but hey, it's a reminder that we are live. You're not just hearing some canned cookie cutter radio show, in some, you know, coming from who knows where. Okay, now I may, oh! Okay, see, this stinking phone. This is why we have producers. This is why, if I was smart enough to be an engineer, okay, I think I've got her here. This is crazy. Well, now we only got about 30 seconds. But the bright side story, I'll get Becky on during the break here. Don't you worry. The bright side story is, you know, that Becky was telling me about is she just wants to talk about good neighbors. And I think it's her neighbors that she wants to highlight here. So if you have a story or if you want to give a shout out, if you've got a great neighbor, send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and then I can integrate your good neighbor story into the segment here this morning as we chat with Becky Hillier. You know, when I think about good neighbors, I was just talking with Cowboy Bill Miles, who is the state VFW chaplain, and I was just chatting with him last night. Man, that guy is a good neighbor to all of his veteran friends and what he's doing. And it reminded me of our friend George Blackard and what George Blackard does to serve his neighbors. He'll break out the snowblower and just start, you know, doing everybody else's sidewalks when the snow starts blowing. Anyway, good stuff. Stand by.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with actor Morgan Freeman and director Ruben Fleischer of Now You See Me, Now You Don't, the third part of the magic-filled franchise.
If you've been there twice, to be asked back is proof. It's like, okay, yeah, you made the grade, so go for it again. Just realize that you're the same character in a different situation.
Ruben, do you have to be sort of a magician yourself in terms of making the tricks work within the movie and then also for the audience?
Yeah, I felt the pressure of delivering for an audience because it has been 10 years since the last one, and I know how loved these movies are. So I was lucky to partner with these incredible magicians from the Magic Castle in Los Angeles who worked as consultants for us and made sure that we were elevating the magic at every level. The other thing that was really important to me is that this movie passed the magician test.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. U.S. authorities have charged a former Canadian Olympic snowboarder turned fugitive drug kingpin with murder of a witness that was set to testify against him. Attorney General Pam Bondi said Ryan Wedding is accused of tracking down a witness in Colombia who was then murdered before he could provide evidence. Wedding, known as El Jefe, giant and public enemy, is accused of overseeing the transport of hundreds of kilos of cocaine from Colombia through Mexico and Southern California, then into Canada. Authorities also announced the arrest of Ontario lawyer Deepak Paradkar, who allegedly advised Wedding to murder the FBI witness. The 43-year-old competed for Team Canada in the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympic Games, placing 24th in the parallel giant slalom event. 4 years later, he was named in a search warrant involving a marijuana grow operation. In 2010, he was convicted of drug trafficking and sentenced to 4 years in prison. Federal officials raised the reward for Wedding's capture to $15 million. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, me battling technology. That is today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment. I think we've got Becky now. You guys should be hearing Becky as well. Becky, thanks for dealing with the technology with me here this morning.
Oh, of course. You know, things like that are the bane of every broadcaster's existence, right? But you have to just muddle your way through. So good job getting through that.
Well, and it's funny. It's like the process of elimination. I was like, okay, why is it all of a sudden going into one earpiece instead of two earpieces? And I think it's because I started charging my cell phone, and then it must have kicked it into one channel instead of two. Okay, so I think everybody's hearing you now. All right, let's jump right into it. Your bright side story. You want to give a shout out to your great neighbors there in Billings.
Yeah, well, and really great neighbors everywhere, because your neighbors can really make or break your experience wherever you live. Whether you move into a new neighborhood or other people move into your existing neighborhood, you never know what you're going to get, right? So we moved a couple of years ago to the house we're living in now, and we had lived at our other house, and it was on one of Billings' busiest streets, and we lived there a lot longer than we thought we were going to. And one of the reasons we stayed there that long is because we had such great neighbors over there. And one of them was John, a retired geologist, the sweetest man, never married, no kids. And he just became like our adopted dad and grandpa. And we just loved him. And anytime we talked about moving, he would get so sad. And at one point we thought, you know, well, if we ever do move, maybe we buy a house that could accommodate John if he gets to the point where he can't take care of himself anymore. And John passed away from COVID in 2021. So we knew that, you know, well, we can move with a clear conscience so we don't have to feel bad about leaving John. So we moved to our new neighborhood 2 years ago, and Tim and Margie, who live next door, are just the sweetest people. Tim is the retired pastor and chaplain, and his wife Margie is the most wonderful woman. And they welcomed us into the neighborhood with a plate full of homemade goodies and treats. And just throughout the last couple of years, if she bakes something, she bakes extra and brings it over for us. Well, yesterday they saw Mitch with his arm bandaged up. He had surgery earlier this week. And so they texted us last night and said, we're going to make dinner for you and bring it over for both of you tonight. So don't worry about cooking. And they brought over homemade spaghetti sauce, homemade French bread. They brought over salad, a bottle of wine, homemade dessert. And they brought it all over to us so that we wouldn't have to do anything but just enjoy it. And I thought, you know, it is so nice to remember the niceties of decades gone by. You know, I think a lot of that happened back in the 50s, maybe the 60s, and it's a little more rare these days. But Tim and Margie just exemplify these wonderful neighbors, wonderful people who are so giving, so welcoming, so warm. And we just count ourselves so blessed over the years to have had wonderful neighbors. And Tim and Margie are now counted in that as well, because just so incredibly thoughtful. They didn't have to do that. And I didn't have surgery. I could have cooked. But they did a very humane thing by bringing dinner over so Mitch didn't have to eat my cooking last night. But just so sweet, so thoughtful. So hats off and kudos to all of the good neighbors out there and the nice things that you do for your neighbors, being neighborly and just being so welcoming and warm.
Yeah, you're reminding me. I think he'd be okay with me giving him a little shout out on the radio here. One of my favorite all-time neighbors for my entire life, Tony Eliezer. I don't know if you know Tony. He's a car salesman at Denny Menholt Chevrolet. And, man, I tell you, if anybody's ever bought a car from this guy, imagine him being your neighbor, because that guy is like Mr. Super Customer Service. I mean, he will... If people are buying a car from him and they got to go grocery shopping, he will load your groceries up for you. He will pick you up at the grocery store if he has to and load you into your new pickup or your new car or whatever. But
love that.
Being his neighbor, if it was snowing, I would wake up and I'm like, oh, man, I better – if it was a Saturday morning, I was like, I better get out there and break out my snowblower, because if not, Tony's going to beat me to the punch, because, I mean, he's just such a great guy, a great neighbor, you know, and you know, I didn't have a leaf blower. He's like, here, use mine. And it's like the backpack leaf blower from, I think, from Ace Hardware, where you feel like you're a Ghostbuster with this backpack on. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if you're looking to have a little fun, especially as a dude, get one of those backpack leaf blowers. Oh, man, it was a ton of fun using that thing. I wanted to just walk around the neighborhood with the backpack leaf blower on.
Well, last night when we were enjoying the spaghetti, and we don't eat spaghetti a lot, so that was even a bigger treat. And since COVID, since Mitch had COVID 5 years ago, he still hasn't gotten his taste or smell back. But last night, he could taste the meal. He tasted every bit of the meal. And while he was eating it, he says, you know, I'm just so thankful for people like Tim and Margie, because as a cop, he sees all of these conflicts in neighborhoods, and he sees people being so unkind to one another and really just mean and spiteful. And he said, you know, I deal with that all day long. And then I come home and our neighbors bring over food like this for us. He said, it just like renews your faith in humanity when there are people like Tim and Margie. So
it's just
so cool.
Well, and our friend George Blackard, who joins us, you know, next hour for Freedom Friday. I mean, for fellow veterans, you know, he would just go out. He'd put his snowblower in the back of his pickup, and he'd go, and he'd do multiple houses in a day. And same thing, even if you weren't a veteran, if you were his neighbor, there'd be George out there.
Well, breaking and I told you that. George was our neighbor for a while, and Mitch had wrist surgery years ago. George didn't know that, but it was snowing like crazy outside, and I thought, man, I better get out there and start shoveling. And I hear this snowblower, and it's George just coming down, just getting all the snow off the sidewalk for everybody. He has no clue what a huge help that was to us at that time.
I told you I was in East Africa, and it was 100 and something degrees and sunny, and I'm reading the Montana news back home, and the massive snowfall, and I was like, oh, crap, I called Jessica. I forgot to come up with a game plan for dealing with the snow. She's like, George is out there right now.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. 7 weeks left in the regular season. Two teams who enter week 12 with the best records in the NFL, the New England Patriots and Denver Broncos, both 9-2, are not even among the top eight teams favored to win Super Bowl 60 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, where the odds-on choice is the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, who have won their last four games and sit atop the NFC East with a record of 8-2, four more wins than the second-place Cowboys, who the Eagles visit Sunday afternoon, 4:25 Eastern Time. Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhart will call this one on Fox TV. The second favorite to win the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Rams, who will try to win their sixth game in a row Sunday night when they host the NFC South-leading Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Winners of eight games in a row, the Patriots face the Bengals in Cincinnati. The Broncos have a bye this week. Jared Max, Fox News.
It's November 21st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Gingerbread Cookie Day. A staple during the holiday season, gingerbread cookies are the perfect cookie to be a family activity, building gingerbread houses, or shaping little gingerbread people. The sturdiness of this baked treat is a great way to hold contests over who can use their imagination to make the best gingerbread structure, or who can make the neatest gingerbread family. Also on this date, in 1934... The New York Yankees purchased Joe DiMaggio from minor league team, the San Francisco Seals. And in 1956, Dodgers pitcher Don Newcomb wins the National League MVP Award, as well as the inaugural Cy Young Award. If it's your birthday today, you share it with French philosopher Voltaire, born in 1694, and Hall of Fame outfielder Ken Griffey Jr., born in 1969. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
If relax.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Animal health officials on the state and national level are continuing to track an outbreak of equine herpes virus myeloencephalopathy, or EHM, linked to the WPRA World Finals, an elite barrel race held in November 5th through the 9th in Waco, Texas. Confirmed EHM cases are tied to the event, with two cases in Texas, two in Oklahoma, and three in Louisiana. Those are all PCR confirmed. Now, the outbreak is caused by equine herpes virus 1, or EHV1, which can progress from a respiratory illness to a neurological condition known as EHM. Symptoms include fever, limb swelling, hindend weakness, and urine dribbling. Most effective horses recover, 60 to 70% in fact, but prompt veterinary care, monitoring, and isolation are essential. This event-related outbreak has already led to cancellations of multiple equine events across the nation. One of the nation's largest monthly horse sales has canceled an upcoming sale because of it. Due to the EVH1 situation, Billings Livestock Commission's November 22nd horse sale has been canceled. Organizers emphasize that the decision protects the health of horses and the integrity of their sale, and they express appreciation to consigners and buyers for their understanding and continued support. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great report there by Lane Nordland with the Farm and Ranch Report. I got to see his sidekick, Russell Nimitz, with the Western Ag Network at the Montana Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula earlier this week. In fact, I don't know how we got to talking about it, but Becky, you and I, during the break, we were talking about, you know, the drive back from Missoula. And then it got us talking about some of the favorite drives around Montana. Before I get into our favorite drives discussion, Becky, you know some people are going to get angry. Some people are going to get very mad at us for sharing some of our favorite drives across Montana. But I got to remind our listeners, like, okay, if you're listening to a show like this, first off, you're most likely already in Montana, and we're amongst friends here. So we're not on the air in Seattle or Portland right now. So we're not inviting the hordes of angry mask-wearing people to come to our favorite drives in Montana. We're just talking amongst friends here, right?
We're appreciating the natural beauty of our home state, and I think that's a wonderful thing. It's always good.
Before I get to this incredible drive that I had coming back from the Farm Bureau Convention, what are some of your favorite drives in Montana?
Well, you know, I'm a driver, and I think it's just in my blood. My dad was a long-haul truck driver, and so just going with him from Montana to California in his big rig, I really grew to love driving and just being able to see everything. I much prefer to drive than fly. And so I will just go on drives. I'll jump in the car, I get a little bored or stir crazy in the house, and I go for a drive. And I stumbled upon this beautiful drive to McLeod, Montana. If no one has driven in that area before, it is absolutely stunning. And so that is one of my favorite drives. And in the fall, it is just incredible with all of the changing leaves. And then because I'm a southeastern Montana girl, I love the drive to Miles City from Billings. There's just something very soothing about it, of course, you know, going home to Miles City. But through the Hysham Hills, it's so beautiful. So you have some buttes and you have a few sandstone rock formations along the way. And then you get to the Hysham Hills and you have these beautiful pine trees. And to me, that is such a beautiful area of the country. And then also up by Nye, Montana, in the Stillwater River Road and through Nye and Beehive, Fishtail, just that whole area. It looks like Western Montana, but it's not. But it's equally beautiful.
I like that. It looks like Western Montana, but it's not. Yeah, that's a great drive. Yeah, we were laughing during the break because you were talking about the Hysham Hills and driving to Miles City. It's funny because it really only takes about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, to get from Billings to Miles City. But when you depending on, you know, old school Montanans, it takes a little bit less. I didn't want to expose any of us over the airwaves there, but yeah, for that. Okay, that's another funny topic altogether because we got Jim in Great Falls, and Jim in Great Falls is always complaining about folks driving fast, and I'm like, okay, Jim, you live in Great Falls though, so like it doesn't take you as long to get everywhere. When you're coming from Miles City or Savage or Glasgow or Scobie, like it takes you a really long time to get anywhere, so you are used to driving a little bit faster. Not too fast, but a little bit faster than everybody else. So all right, but yeah, it's funny, like, so if you're driving all the way out to, you know, like when I go to Glendive for the gate show, it's funny, as you pass the Hysham Hills, you're like, you remember Tommy Boy and Chris Farley, and they start running around the car, bees, 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 instead of bees, it's like trees, you get so excited to see trees when you're driving across eastern Montana.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, and I love, you know, all of the little rocky formations too, and the buttes that you see in certain areas. But the Hysham Hills is beautiful, and the trees are beautiful. I mean, it's not such a beautiful drive in the wintertime. It's a little bit scary and a little bit sketchy, but man, I just soak it all in when I drive through that area.
This would be a great clickbait trash for our websites here. You know, they're all about the clickbait trash on the websites. Hey, do a top 10 list. And there's no scientific basis behind these top 10 lists, but it's just clickbait trash to go on websites. But
exactly.
But this would actually be a good one where it's like, okay, what are those, when you do these, when you drive across Montana, what are the places where everybody has to stop and take a photo? And I passed two of them on Wednesday coming back from the Montana Farm Bureau convention, because I was driving back Wednesday afternoon. I'm driving from Missoula back to Kalispell, and I hit two of those moments. It was a perfectly sunny day. The skies were, like George Strait would say, baby blue. And, you know, right when you pop over into St. Ignatius and the Mission Mountains are just boom right there, well, the peaks were covered in snow. And they were popping like they were right. You know how some days in Billings it looks like the Beartooths are right next to you, and then some days it looks like they're a 4-hour drive away? Well, Wednesday, the peaks were right in front of your face and just covered in snow. And then, boom, you hit Polson right when you pop over that hill, and you hit Polson, and boom, there's Flathead Lake right in front of you. And Flathead Lake around Big Arm, it was like glass. The George Strait baby blue sky was like mirrored on the top of Flathead Lake right there. And I was like, oh my goodness, what a great day to have to drive for work. Back in, we're talking about some of the best road trips, some of the best drives across Montana, and the places that you might stop and take a photograph. And everybody knows that that's where you stop and take a photograph, like when you pop over the hill in Polson and you see Flathead Lake. Becky, we could probably throw in another one. What are some of the must-play songs when you're making those road trips across Montana? I mean, on a beautiful blue sky day, throwing on some George Strait, Baby Blue, that's got to be on the top 10 list for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is striking to me when people come out here, when they visit from, you know, cities and they have skyscrapers and everything, and they think, well, what is this big sky country? Like, we all have the same sky. But then they get out here and they actually see the difference. We don't, it's not obscured by skyscrapers. And you see that big baby blue sky, and it is just absolutely stunning, because nothing gets in its way. Nothing obscures that view. And when you have one of those beautifully blue skies, beautiful weather, sun shining, I don't know that there's anything much better. And sometimes it's a little easy to get distracted by all of that beauty and maybe drive a little faster. You know, I'm just saying maybe. I just think how lucky we are. Like, how lucky are you to drive for work up in western Montana, which is just heavenly looking most of the time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean,
it's like
out every,
I get done
window,
with the show,
every direction.
I get done with the show and I forget where I'm at. And I get done with the show and I cut my promos, I get my website articles done, answer some emails, and I'm like, okay, I got to go to the gym right away, get that done at noon because there's a great class. Former NYPD detective is the instructor. And I forget because I'm just staring at my computer talking to folks on the radio. And then I get out and I'm like, oh, man, I can see the snow-capped peaks in Glacier right now. And I'm just driving to the freaking gym. Pretty cool. Hey, yeah. Becky, I got to share a song with you here. Last week we talked about the Flathead Food Bank and how they had this incredible concert featuring Tommy Edwards out of Big Fork, who was on The Voice back in the day. Listen to part of his cover of Tennessee Whiskey, and then his dad jumps in on the chorus line. That was Tommy Edwards and his dad. That's beautiful. From their YouTube page. Man, they were incredible, especially in person. Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, Becky Hillier, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for helping us look at the bright side on this Freedom Friday.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
I appreciate your time. Tell Mitch to get better and get on the mend. And, and thanks for all he does and all our law enforcement officers out there. Okay, let's see. Yeah, coming up after this. Oh, we're going to talk with Finley Warden, our guest producer this morning, about the filibuster.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So one topic that I really want to get to, we had some great audio clips with reaction yesterday. We've got more today. I really want to get into this video by these Democrat members of Congress, these elected Democrats who served in the military or worked in intelligence agencies, basically openly calling for an insurrection. We all know exactly what they were doing with this video, where they were calling on troops and folks working in the intelligence agencies. We know exactly what their message was. We know exactly what this deep state signal was all about. I'm going to save that topic, though, for the 8 o'clock hour. George Blackard with us for Freedom Friday. He's a fellow military veteran, so I'm looking forward to hearing his take on that. And then we'll mix in some of the great audio clips that we've got to go with it as much as we possibly can. The topic that I also want to talk about here, we were going to get into this in the 6 o'clock hour of the show with Finley Warden. Finley is filling in for Caden this morning, a great barely 20-year-old young man, a very smart young man. He's the guy who went undercover at the MFPE Teachers Union Conference and exposed all the anti-American, radical LGBTQ propaganda that they were shoving down teachers' throats, and frankly, illegal activity, as he described it. One of the last times that we caught up with Finley, we were talking about Generation Z, and actually this was a year ago. I think about a year ago or so, Finley was filling in for Caden then, and we got to talking about the 2024 elections and about Generation Z and about younger voters. And at the time, and Finley, correct me if I get any of this wrong or if you need to clarify anything, but as I recall, Finley made a great point about how, look, Generation Z showed up for Trump. Generation Z showed up for the Republicans and put them back in power. Now Generation Z expects those same folks to show up for them and deliver the results. Finley, that's why I think, look, as much as many of us do not want to do away with the filibuster in the United States Senate, I think more and more folks are in agreement with President Trump that it's got to be done away with if we're going to get anything done. What's your thoughts?
I believe it is long past time for the filibuster to go away, to go bye-bye. Gen Z showed up for President Trump alongside the American people. They elected a Republican majority in the House and Senate. And what we got from it was one big, somewhat beautiful bill. But how this works, the filibuster right now, is really, Republicans only get the chance to pass one bill one time per year, and it needs to have consensus across all of Republicans, from the most liberal rhino Republicans in New York to the Freedom Caucus conservatives we have across the state. Republicans only have a chance to pass one bill that all Republicans need to agree on, regardless of where they stand. If we got rid of the filibuster, Trump would be able to pass his agenda. We'd be able to have significantly stronger laws against illegal immigration. We'd be able to pass voter ID reform, national voter ID, so our elections can't be rigged. And we'd really be able to pass, I believe, a true middle-class tax cut, which we saw some progress on in the Big Beautiful Bill. But these are the kinds of policies that Trump promised during his run for the presidency. And in order to truly follow through on it, we need to see the end to the filibuster.
Well, and that's why I think you're hearing President Trump. President Trump is focused on delivering for the American people. And so I think are the Republicans in the House and in the Senate by and large. But here's the deal. Look, with the filibuster right now, we just saw with the latest government shutdown, what does it take? It takes 60 votes to get spending bills across the finish line. And so you had just a handful of Democrats that held the whole country hostage, shutting down the entire federal government. What were they shutting down the government over? A spending bill. They want to keep giving money, health care to illegal aliens, your money to illegal aliens. They want to give your money to sex changes in third world countries, right? All this crazy stuff. They wanted to add $1.6 trillion in more spending to what was already included in this continuing resolution. And, okay, they got the CR across the finish line finally, but we're going to have the same fight again at the end of January. Frankly, the House of Representatives has already delivered a number of appropriations bills, and hopefully they'll quickly finish the remainder of them and get them across the House, but the committees have already done the work. But those battles are going to go right back to the U.S. Senate, and here we go again. Just a handful of Democrats will be able to block all of it. And we are never going to deal with our national debt. We are never going to get the agenda for the American people across the finish line if a handful of Democrats can just sit there and obstruct everything.
Yeah, and the government shutdown is a perfect example of just how sick and tired young people are of the stupid political games going on in D.C. And truly, the government shutdown that was brought upon us by the Democrats, the longest one in the country's history, it makes us look stupid and incompetent on the national stage. I mean, we don't ever hear stories about Russia's government being shut down or China's government being shut down. And the Democrats played this narrative where they were saying they wanted to save health care for the American people, when really they were trying to just get it back for illegals. And I do understand people are going to lose some access to health care. And I do think it was somewhat maybe admirable for some Democrats to stand up for that. But it's a lie. That's not what the government shutdown was about. It was so that they could show the radical Democrat base that they were willing to stand against Trump. Schumer is scared that AOC is going to primary him in this upcoming election. So we didn't get anything from this government shutdown. It made the United States look stupid. It made Republicans and Democrats really look bad. It made Trump look bad. And we didn't get any addition to health care from it that the Democrats were pushing for. Some of that would be bad. It would be for illegal immigrants. Some of that I do think it would be good. But we got nothing from it except our troops not being paid.
Here we go. This is Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary. This was a couple of days ago. Here she is talking about the filibuster and why President Trump thinks it's finally time to do away with it.
He is in total agreement that we need to let go of the filibuster. It's not serving the purpose that it originally intended to serve anymore. It's really a moot point, and he wants to see it gone so that he can have the most productive 3 years of any president ever. He's already been so productive in his first term. He ushered through the largest middle-class tax cut in just 6 months, which is amazing. There's so much more work to do. Election integrity, voter ID, getting rid of universal mail-in ballots. All of that can be done if Congress were works together and gets rid of the filibuster. So the president is definitely talking a lot about that, both publicly and privately. I know he's expressed his opinion on that to leaders in the Senate who may agree or disagree. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But there's so much that can be accomplished, and we must take advantage of having the most productive president in the Oval Office. You know, Republicans need to get off their butts and move, and that's what the president wants to see them do, and that's what the American people are expecting.
Yeah, and Finley, look, I think that we are at a pivotal moment in American history, not just because we're approaching our 250th birthday next year, but I truly believe that our nation is at a turning point. And here's the deal. Generation Z can save America. They can save us. They can save us from this demographic calamity by doing what Charlie Kirk has encouraged young people to do in terms of, you know, rebuilding the population, et cetera, right? And moving back to America, to American first principles, right? But here's the deal. If Republicans don't deliver, if they're not able to deliver because of a handful of Democrats and maybe one or two Republicans obstructing everything, the Democrats will be emboldened because they love failure, they love chaos, they love disorder, and the new Trump voters will be discouraged and will not want to show up in the midterm elections.
Yeah, Gen Z voted for Trump because they want to see the United States government take action to benefit the lives of young people. And there's only one group of people under the current rules of how the filibuster works who gets anything out of it. It's the deep state and the uniparty. The deep state can easily pass any bill that they want through the filibuster right now because they can get all the Republicans and Democrats in Congress to agree on it. But who really doesn't get anything that we ever want is the American people. We don't get any of the America First policies that Donald Trump and many of the Republicans got elected on and have been pushing for. So it is long past due for the filibuster to come to an end because we need to see truly right now Republicans need to take action and young people need to see results from it because we just saw Mamdani get elected. We see Republicans slipping in the polls. It is time for Republicans to stand up and get rid of filibuster.
Well, and frankly, the Democrats always get what they want anyway. I mean, to your point, you get all the Democrats and then just one or two weak-kneed Republicans to bend at the knee, and the Democrats always get what they want anyway. Now is the time to finally deliver for the American people, and that victory will prevent the Democrats from taking back power. All right, hold that thought.
Fox Sports Update.
Hey, listen up. Yeah. Hey, before we do all the celebration stuff, I'm so proud of you guys, man.
Amen.
Tough couple weeks. You guys made us proud, man.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer in the locker room with his players just 11 days after the death of Cowboys 24-year-old defensive lineman Marshawn Kneeland, who took his own life. The Cowboys scored a galvanizing 33-16 win over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Here's Lamb wide open, backs in for the touchdown. End zone, touchdown Cowboys. Ferguson, Prescott able to step into it. It's got Pickens, good move. Nice cutback and a touchdown. Prescott, wide open, touchdown grab. This time, Flanoy.
On ABC at ESPN, Dak Prescott threw four touchdown passes in the Cowboys' 33-16 win against the Raiders. Dallas improved its record to 4-5-1. Las Vegas is now 2-8. The Jets are benching quarterback Justin Fields in favor of Tyrod Taylor. The Falcons are turning to Kirk Cousins, with Michael Penix Jr. possibly done for the season with a knee injury. Bengals receiver Jamar Chase is appealing a one-game suspension for spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. NBA Monday, the Detroit Pistons won again, 10th in a row. Detroit improved its record to 12-2 with a 127-112 win over Indiana. The Pacers, who went seven games in the finals last season with Oklahoma City, have the worst record of the NBA, 1-13. The reigning champion Thunder, 14-1 after a 126-109 win over the Pelicans. Six straight wins for OKC. The Bulls snapped the Nuggets' seven-game win streak, 130-127. San Antonio Spurs star Victor Wembanyama is going to miss a few weeks because of a strained left calf muscle. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Fox Facts.
He wasn't born in a blizzard. Frosty the Snowman was actually built in a boardroom.
Happy birthday, Frosty.
The Jolly Snowman with the corncob pipe and a button nose first appeared in 1950, not from folklore, but from the same team behind Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Songwriter Steve Nelson and Jack Rollins wanted another winter hit, so they dreamed up a snowman who came to life with a magic hat. Gene Autry, who just scored big with Rudolph, recorded Frosty the Snowman, and it became an instant holiday classic. Nearly 20 years later, Jimmy Durante's version brought Frosty to new generations in the 1969 animated TV special, the one most of us still hear today.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul.
So Frosty wasn't shaped by children playing in the snow. He was shaped by radio, records, and a bit of marketing magic. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Let's switch to another topic here. This is the topic that I want to get into in the 8 o'clock hour with our friend and fellow veteran George Blackard. But also, I want to hear Finley's take, especially as a younger Gen Z voter as well. The Democrats' insurrection video, where you've got several of these congressional Democrats openly calling for currently serving military personnel or intelligence agency personnel to basically effectively undermine the President of the United States or the Commander in Chief. Finley, what's your take on this story?
It truly just shows the true colors of what the Democrats think. They will do anything to oppose what President Trump is doing, including to opposing our wonderful and great men and women in our military, who Democrats claim to be supporting. But as president, Donald Trump is commander in chief. He has been an excellent leader of the military, him and Pete Hegseth. And it's just Democrats have really shown their true colors and have really shown that they do not support our military or what President Trump is doing. But they will do truly anything to stand up against him, including for basically calling for an insurrection, a real insurrection this time, not a fake January 6th made up one.
I forget who I was listening to yesterday, but it was some news personality, podcast or something, but they were interviewing a CIA veteran. Maybe it was on Fox News. I can't remember. But the point that they were making, maybe it was Jesse Waters, the point that they were making was that, hey, he said this to the CIA guy. He said, your job when you were in the CIA is basically to go into these other countries and, you know, spy on their political apparatus and sometimes even work to undermine or overthrow that country's political apparatus, you know, maybe into a more friendly American, friendly to American one. But yet what the Democrats are doing here, some of them who were, you know, CIA personnel are effectively doing that type of unconventional warfare right here in the United States of America against the American people and against the duly elected president of the United States.
Yeah, well, I think lots of the Democrats we're seeing, where do they come from? They come from the CIA, which has factions in it that oppose what Republicans and President Trump stands for. I think a good example of that is Abigail Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia. Look at her background. She's worked in CIA and intelligence for her whole life and has continually stood up against an America First foreign policy and military policy.
Well, and the other thing about Spanberger is she basically had a desk job, but yet pretends to be some super secret squirrel. I wasn't in the CIA, so I can't speak to personal testament of it, but it sure seems like the Democrats have been inflating her background and to prop her into a position just like that. All right. Well, we're going to get George Blackard's take coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And, of course, Finley, if you want to jump in on that conversation, feel free to jump in on that conversation as well. And for our listeners, we'll have the phone lines open for you with George Blackard Freedom Friday coming up here right after this as well. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Hey, speaking of the Trump agenda and the Make America Healthy Again agenda, We all know it. Montana beef, beef period, is so critical to living a healthy lifestyle and frankly, to just having good food on the table. But with prices right now, what's the best thing you can do? The best thing you can do is get your beef locally right here in Montana. Let me tell you about Reminis Angus Ranch out of Dillon. Brian Massard, of course, with Reminis Angus, he joins us regularly on the show talking about the Maha agenda. He's worked very closely with RFK Jr. for at least a couple of years now. But I've had Reminis Angus Ranch beef delivered to my house. I've had their beef bacon. I've had their beef jerky. I've had their ground beef. I've had their steaks. It's good stuff. You can get it too. Go to remangus.com, remangus.com, or look for their jerky in some Town Pump locations. They've got it in some Town Pump locations, etc. too.
Oh, would they just stop with the brawl of the wild garbage? It's called the Cat Grizz game. Stop with the fair trade organic coffee crap. My rant, MontanaTalks.com. And happy, at least when it comes to calves and prices. That's how I would sum up our coverage from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula. The farmers, not so much. But we had great conversations, got a chance to catch up with so many great farmers and ranchers from all across Montana at the Farm Bureau Convention earlier this week. The highlights, the full audio of our convention coverage and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone. You'll have it all right there.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with her.